702 Weekend Breakfast
with Refilwe Mpakanyane.
Live, online,
smartphones,
DSTV channel 856
and 92.7 and 106 FM.
Here is a very, very interesting conversation that we're about to delve into, and I want to hear from you before we start chatting to Corsi. If you are prone to self-sabotaging and how you finally kicked this awful, you know, and Corsi will tell us, is it a habit? Is it just a way of being in the world? Or is it a coping mechanism that you developed at a young age and just, you know, when it was time to let go of it, you didn't, and it is now really stifling your progress in life, right? Do you self-sabotage, and why, when you finally drilled down into the reasons behind it, what did you find at the base of this, you know, being scared to succeed, being scared to realize your full potential perhaps, or feeling as though you actually were not good enough? So why not scupper your efforts now before you've actually put in the effort, and therefore you don't have to find out what a big fat failure you are? I mean, that's some of the thinking around self-sabotaging. Maybe you've overcome this. I want to hear from you on 31702. That's the SMS line. Or give me a call on 011-883-0702. We'd really love to hear from you and hear and share your experiences as well. Corsi, of course, you can call in and ask Corsi for her comments and her advice. But of course, she's not your treating clinical psychologist. So just bear that in mind. We are having a chat over the radio. It is by no means a consultation. So it is on that note that I welcome our resident clinical psychologist, Corsi Giane. And I say good morning, Corsi. Thank you so much as usual. Are you keeping safe? Are you well?
Good morning, Refilwe. I am keeping absolutely safe, sane, and well.
That's very good. Yeah, that's good. That's good to hear. Now, Corsi,
I'm in a good place. Thanks.
Really, really good. You know, I guess we could sort of phrase it in this way, but we all know that one person who just can't be content, or seemingly can never be content with just having peace in their lives, right? There always needs to be something that doesn't work out when you thought, but surely it was a straight shot. It was an easy shot. You could have done that without, you know, you could, that goal could have easily have been achieved. You could have gotten to your job appointment, I mean, your job interview on time. But somewhere, somehow, there's always these weird things that go wrong, right? And we don't, you know, quite often you take a long time to understand why there's always so much drama swirling around them. And in some cases, it's all self-inflicted wounds, right? Let's talk about and let's uncover, help us uncover the underlying reasons and causes of something like self-sabotage. First of all, define it for us. And is this a clinical term that you guys use when you're diagnosing patients and you put it in notes?
Yeah, we certainly, it's certainly part of our parlance.
Yeah.
But I think that I like the analogy that you've used when you talk about goals. So self-sabotage is actually when you score in your own goals.
Yeah.
Because it is those behaviors that we engage in that do not serve to advance our best interest. It is when we get in the way of our own highest and best aspirations, when we dig potholes and plant landmines on the path that we need to walk on ourselves. And it struck me, as I was thinking about this just now, which is, you know, in isiZulu and isiSuthu, there's that expression that says, the idiom that says, unganyeli isiziba. You know, literally do not poo in the river. Because you're going to need to drink that water.
Yeah.
So it is when you do not act in a manner that serves you.
So, you know, from a clinical or even a psychological perspective, why do people, and indulge is quite obviously the wrong word, but why do people behave in this kind of, why do people indulge in this kind of behavior? Because clearly, if you know that you are due to appear in court tomorrow because you're trying to get visitation rights for your child, and there you are in the club until 4 a.m, you're hungover, you oversleep, you miss the appointment, and the magistrate says, well, you know, to the baby mama, I guess, you know, it stays the same. He won't have access to the kids because he hasn't even bothered to show up to family court. All these weird things. And we all know someone like that. Or maybe we are that person who somehow just...
And we are that person also.
Yeah.
You know? And let's bring it to the now, Rufilwe. We are now in COVID and we are told, distance, do not go out there, wash your hands, and we choose not to do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, the self-saboteur will manifest in denial, for example. No, this doesn't exist. When we outsource responsibility for doing what it takes to serve our own highest and best interests, and it could be in the minutiae of our survival, or even in other things, in different ways, because what it is, the saboteur is our guardian of choice at the crossroads point of life. So it manifests, actually, it expresses as the quality of the choices that we make. In other words, what we say yes to and what we say no to. And therefore act in alignment with that choice. So psychologically, you know, self-sabotage expresses thought forms. It is that goes on in our internal landscape.
Okay.
It is the conversation that we have with ourselves, about ourselves, about other people, and about the situations that we are confronted with and the choices we then make given those three touch points and behave in alignment with the, you know, as a reflection of that conversation that happens internally.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, that gives us a nice sort of way of looking under the bonnet, and the idea that, in fact, what it is a manifestation of your own internal dialogue for the most part, right? Or how it is that you perceive the world. You know, is this a learned behavior, Kosi, or is it just endemic in some people? Because it would seem to me that it's a part of that internal dialogue, or the setting up of that internal dialogue, is as a direct result of experiences that you've had that have told you that maybe you don't deserve the best, or that have told you that actually whatever you try to do in life, you won't come out on top anyway. So why bother?
Yeah.
So you do outwardly... Yeah. You go through the motions of looking like you want to succeed, but when you're at the precipice of, you know, just doing having that breakthrough moment or action, that's when the self-sabotage kicks in, because it's not something that surely can occur every minute of every day, can it?
Sure. So, you know, the saboteur is, it manifests, as you say, at critical choice points in our lives. However, there is also the fact that we are social beings. So, The sedimentation, you know, happens in our journey through life, in our childhood. It gets written into our psyche by what, because it's a reflection of our self-esteem currency. So it is, and our self-esteem is a reflection of how people write us into ourselves. And what I mean by that is, We learn who we are, our sense of value, our sense of good enoughness, our sense of being loved enough, being worthy enough, by how critical referential others treat us, and thereby write into our psyche who we are. And then we get, you know, that becomes kind of our account, our self-esteem account, that we then use to step out into the world. And it is how we deem ourselves, how we understand and know ourselves, and therefore how we then relate to others in relation to how we understand ourselves, how we relate to situations in relation to. So, for example, it is that, and we've talked about recently in another show about the imposter syndrome.
Absolutely,
That's absolutely part of the self-saboteur as an archetype that operates within all of us. And we can talk about it at an individual level, but we can also talk about it as a shared collective unconscious
that
exists in our society. And let me make a very, very simple pedestrian example. And I'll talk about, you know, my own life journey, the context that I grew up in.
Sure.
So, you know, growing up, it's a way to, there would be this thing of... let's talk about teenage pregnancy, for example.
Yeah.
And I recall growing up, and there was that shared understanding that lived within us as teenagers about pregnancy, we all had an understanding of, you know, sex, the relationship between sex and pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, at critical choice points, we have all made decisions,
yeah,
consciously or subconsciously, to act in one way or another. And the consequences of those choices being, you know, the pregnancy. And so people will talk about, you know, how I was born into hardship and poverty and so on. So that's the one element. Sabotage says, given that that's the circumstance in which you were born, what choices did you make to either enhance and advance your life? Or what choices did you make that actually dug deeper into your starting point that wasn't good to start with?
You know, and in so many ways, this is you spoke about, you know, that those critical referential people that help you write us into ourselves, right? Those people that write us into ourselves.
Yes.
If those critical referential points or those critical referential people have not done the good work of giving you a healthy self-esteem and giving you, you know, and giving you a healthy sense of who you are and who you might be. How do you begin to work on, number one, your ability to really reflect about why you're making certain decisions, right?
Yeah.
And really sit in the understanding and the knowledge of, okay, I made that decision, but because I've been preceded by 17 years of bad decision-making, the next 17 do not have to be like that. So in other words, how do we change these habits and rewrite ourselves?
Yeah. So one of my favorite status posts on my WhatsApp is, life is earth school.
Mm-hmm.
Failure is not on the syllabus. All we have is the choice of how we want to learn the lessons that we need to learn. So we can learn through wisdom or woe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can learn through pain or we can learn through wisdom. That says, okay, so it is about how consciously are we living our lives. So unfortunately, you know, the lessons are the lessons. So the fact that, for example, gravity is gravity. It operates across all of us, whether you know about it or not. If you jump, you're only going to go in one direction. So you're going to learn about gravity by jumping and falling and hurting yourself. Or you're going to learn about gravity preventively.
Sure.
And that's the part. So unfortunately, ignorance does not absolve us of the lessons.
Oh, of the consequences, absolutely,
Absolutely. So so one thing people will say, for example, in our community, people will say, well, you know, I failed or I didn't succeed because we didn't have role models, you know, Tina, in the township. All we see is this and this and this is failure and poverty and so on. And so this is, the self-saboteur invites us to look at that situation in this way, that says, we can learn from the presence or absence of things.
Mm-hmm.
So while absolutely the under positive role model could have to aspire to, but our own environment is littered with examples of the how not to.
So the
people that we see that have not made it are the teachers that we have. You know, so we can use our environment in one way or another. So that's what the saboteur, it calls us to awaken living. So, and unfortunately, most of us are blind walking. And therefore, we will hit our faces against the wall many, many times because those are the consequences of choices we have made consciously or subconsciously. Because...
Hi, Kosi. All right, let's get Kosi back. They seem to have be experiencing a network issue, but yeah, I do want to hear from you. You know, with regards to a point that Kosi just made right now, that yes, you might not have had the best or grown up in the best environment or circumstances, but an interesting point being that, you know, quite often the absence of, let's say, a role model, that in and of itself is enough of an indicator or a call to action or spurs you to a different type of action to know, well, if I can't see what I want to be in my life or what I want to have in my life, but I certainly know what I don't want to be, and I certainly know what I don't want to have. And of course, we're talking self-sabotage with our clinical psychologist, Kosi Giane, and just trying to unravel and dig down into the underlying causes of self-sabotage. So we've come up with self-esteem being a core issue there. But I want to find out from you if this is something you've dealt with yourself, and how have you overcome it? How have you dealt with it? Or is it still something that, you know, you're grappling with, you know, may essentially scoring own goals, as Kosi puts it, when really there was clear line of sight and it just did not have to be that way. Kosi, we've got you back. You know, in terms of what we're just talking about, and the sense that you were answering my question about writing ourselves differently or back into ourselves in a more positive way.
Yeah.
Now that we maybe are grappling with the idea that, or making peace with the fact that I've missed opportunities, I've fumbled the bag and not made the money that I was meant to make, or, you know, I killed this beautiful relationship that I could have had with that woman or that man because of my behavior or my fear or my insecurity.
Yeah.
How does one change behavior? Right? How do you work on CBT? I mean, how do you work on your self-esteem? And I think immediately of CBT, things like cognitive behavioral therapy, which is often touted as something to, you know, that can, with the hard work that you put in, change your life. What are the tools at hand with modern psychotherapy, you know, that we can utilize and turn to?
The tools we have at hand are ourselves. That's our most important tool. And I mean the self, and I'll say here, For clarification, the capital S, self, is the self. It is the self that we have. And it is, what is your relationship with yourself? So it takes being present. Mm. Because for as long as we are absent landlords, we will keep digging our own holes and scoring our own goals. So what it takes is to say, right, we are perfectly imperfect. And that's what the saboteur is about. It is about reminding us of our fallibility, but it also reminds us about our potential, our untapped potential. So it is when I have made a choice and behave in a certain way, done something, the consequences will manifest. And it is about taking that time to pause, to introspect, to reflect. How has this choice served me? How has it served me that I have allowed myself to fall pregnant? How has it served me? And the self-saboteur will manifest in being pregnant yet again, when it clearly has not served you in the first place.
Yeah.
So the question becomes, how many times do I want to make this, what people then conveniently choose to call a mistake? And that in itself is part of the self-saboteur, when we lie to ourselves about ourselves. People will say, for example, I meet people who will say, oh, you know, I had a teenage pregnancy. And then she'll say, oh, and this is a real story. And then she'll say, oh, you know, you're so lucky. At least you people knew about this. And then I say to her, you are younger than me. I knew as a teenager that there's a correlation, there's a connection between sex and pregnancy. So it becomes convenient now to say it was a mistake or I didn't know. My question to you is, tell me what you knew. You knew something. Tell me what you knew. So don't blow smoke in your own face. Confront, protect yourself with the truth, because the truth shall set you free. It is only when you really, really confront yourself with the truth, embrace it, take it. It is a bitter pill, but swallow it. Because only then can you then say, okay, this is the choice I made, and this is the critical point. There's a crucial point in that choice that swung the lever in your life towards positive or negative. And then you then need to say to yourself, what do I choose to do going forward? Embrace it, accept it. What is it that you can change? What is it that you can't change about it? You can't change the fact that it has happened. So what are you going to do going forward about this situation?
So, Kosi, we're also talking about years of behavior, right? Or years of behavior or habit. I understand you and I hear you about, you know, confronting head on your truth and your life. But sometimes people need a way to unlearn those habits. Sometimes people need a way to unlearn that routine, the routine of self-loathing or the routine of denialism, right? Or the routine of, of just escaping your reality.
So, Rufino, and this is an unfortunate thing in the sense that I'm saying that this is what professional therapy is about. It is about having someone who's going to have that conversation with you, who's going to take you by the hand and walk you through your life journey and help you connect the dots between the today and where this came from. The saboteur came from. And you will start to connect the dots, and then you are then able to say, okay, now that I see this, the pattern, what is your pattern? And how do I re-narrate? How do I rewrite a new pattern in my life? Because you are your own, you know, a tool, as it were. And so that's the value. But in the absence of that, I'm saying we are our own. Or find someone that you can trust and ask them to be, let's say, brutally honest with you. And have that conversation with someone and be able, be willing to be open. We will not change things if we do not allow our vulnerability to be our teacher.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, from a professional perspective, I've always wondered what that moment of clear vision when a patient has a breakthrough, or insight when a patient has a breakthrough and is able to see their lives for what they, you know, in the situation for what it really, really is. And that denialism falls away, and, you know, they're playing games with themselves, you know, falls away. And how often do people, once they've, you know, once they've gained all of this new insight, no longer recognize that person that they used to be?
Yeah, well, it happens, and you see people kind of, you know, hitting themselves on the forehead, like, oh my goodness, oh wow, you know, and that's that epiphany, that light bulb moment when it dawns, when you realize, and it is that renting of the curtain when we can see things for what they are, and we can then make new choices.
Yeah.
The thing about life, the beauty about life is that when that moment happens, life is going to throw you a lesson. So when you think about it, life is going to throw you a lesson, throw you in the classroom to say, apply this insight. And it is in those moment-by-moment choices, we are doomed to choice. That's what life is. It's a series of crossroads, choice points. What are you going to say no to? Now that you know, here it is again. What are you going to choose this time?
Kosi, thank you so much.
And being willing to pay the price
to
be our highest and best.
Yeah.
And we may need to disappoint other people in the process.
But that's part of the price.
Yep.
Thanks so much, Kosi. You and I will chat again next week. Until then, keep safe and keep well. And thank you for the insights as per usual.